Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone that is logging on tonight and those that are here actually in the barn. And those I want to welcome who may grab a tape and pick it up and say that this is your very first time. Welcome. I am here solo tonight. All the other pastors are out and about doing some things. And we just keep them all in prayer. And tonight, I want to elaborate on some things. We've been speaking about a series on entering into the kingdom of God and how to get on the path and everything and in that way. And you need to log on Sundays because I really share a lot about the tools we need to enter into the kingdom of God or get on this path that God has laid out for us. But I want to take a further back and kind of bring across, what does it mean to be saved? Or what does it mean to have salvation? Why in the need to be saved, or why the need to have salvation, and what are we being saved from? And you know, I want to say that it all stems to being set apart from a world that leads you outside of the will of God. You know, God's intention when he created us was for us to follow his commandments. And a lot of us have been brought up thinking that his commandments were the Ten Commandments that Moses might have written back in the day, where thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not be, you know, covet and all those other thou shalt nots. But, and then man has taken it to a more of a religious law of goods and bads and rights and wrongs, and has just brought a lot of, I want to say, condemnation, or brought in sin in the world. The Bible talks about, I would have never known that sin existed until someone told me about it. And so sin, in the reality of it, doesn't exist. And the reality of it is that we brought sin in the world by right, wrong, good, bad. And I said this sometimes in our messages, you know, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no bad. And I'm Lot would be like, what are you talking about? Until they begin to really understand the truth, so that the truth begins to set us free from really the world or the laws. But salvation, or to be saved, is to enter the path that God has laid for us and walk that life that he has given us. Not many people understand salvation, and not many people understand how to be saved. Not many people understand what it is to live a life without sin. You know, you can put on the righteous garment and try to do all the right things, but are you really right? And are you really righteous? First, your mind has to be cleared from what you think is good and what you think is bad. I know Sarah mentioned something, and maybe she might get something out of this. But when God created us, he created us with a purpose. He put his laws on our heart, and he wrote them and said to follow those commandments, to live that life. And if you take the prophet Jesus, he was a man without sin. And what made him a man without sin was he followed the path that was laid out for him on his heart, all the way unto death, where he was threatened and I guess you can say even brought to a place where he could have ran away from the troubles, but he didn't. He laid there, or he stood in front of hierarchy people and said, "You have no authority unless my Father in heaven has given it to you." And he stood before the hierarchy, I would say, in that time, which was Pontius Pilate. And he allowed the decisions to be laid on the heart of that individual based by God. And he went ahead and took that path. He could have been sent free completely, or he could have been severely beaten and scored or what have you. But he didn't kill him. He passed him over to another group, and that group ended up putting him on the cross. But my point is how to live a life that is without sin and how to be saved. Supernaturally, we have two lives. We have one life that is in our inner being or our core, which some people know it as a heart. Some people don't even know their heart. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they're feeling. They have no concept whatsoever. And then there's others who really understand and know their heart. And then you have your mind, which is a lot of thoughts and a lot of reasonings and a lot of plans. And in your mind, you work things out, thinking a certain way. And a lot of us, because of traditions of our ancestors and the way we brought up based on our geographical locations, we are subject to a teaching. And those teachings are based on laws. You might not realize it, but when your parents raised you, they taught you a certain way to be, and you took that as a law, right? And it's not necessarily written in stone, but you take it as a law. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You have to do this. You have to do that. And the reality of it is it goes against God's law. God's law should be taught in every individual from the time that we're born about how to find the will of God in each and every one of us by allowing us to be the person that we were created to be, not to be raised in any other way based on what you think is good, bad, right, or wrong. This is really salvation. This is really how to be saved. When you find your life and you begin to start living your life the way you want to live it, you become free. You're not subject to, I want to say, bondage or rules. You are not forced in any way, shape, or form to do something that you don't want to do. How many people have ever been put in a situation where you are living your life and you are forced to live a certain way? How about you, lady? Over there sitting down in that seat. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. Who in this place right here was brought up in a strict home? Okay, I see a lot of hands coming up. Now, based on that, you probably told yourself you knew it was for your best interest, right? For some way, somehow, or whatever. Others might have resisted. Have you resisted your upbringing? Okay. Which brought you still to resist and fight and resist? Well, you develop bittered habits, bittered habits. But others would submit to that upbringing, like this woman over here. I guess you've submitted too. Because it was halfway. One's halfway, one's all the way. Because you probably felt that you needed to honor your mother and father, right? And that was a biggie growing up. Honor your mother and father. Honor your But what if your mother and father were thieves or murderers or, you know, real psychopaths? And they had that same honor your mother and father. And you had to do the things that they asked you to do, not knowing that they were right or wrong or good or bad. And you developed a certain pattern in your life. Does it make it right or wrong? What I'm trying to say is our generations are not always correct either. And through this gospel message, God is saying that we need to tear down the laws and the traditions that man has set in front of us, because they're not the laws or the way that God has commanded us. Each and every one of us have a set of rules inside of our inner being. And those are the ones that have to be followed. And when we follow those, we are free. We are saved. And we are without sin. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? That's really hard to swallow. Some people don't like that at all. Especially if you're a parent and you want your children to be raised a certain way. And you're like, well, I'm not going to do that with my kids because, you know, I'm afraid that they're going to go off to the left or go off to the right. Or they're not going to turn out the way I want them to turn out. Well, who are we trusting? Are we trusting God, or are we trusting within ourselves? Are we afraid of the powers of the world, or are we going to trust God in believing that he's going to guide and lead them in the right way? Now, I do believe that God wants us to, and I'm going to stay on the children's area first, because most of our patterns were brought to us based on our childhood growing up. We picked up a lot of our laws and, you know, our traditions based on growing up. And some of them were good. Not all of them were bad. And yet some of them were good, but yet restricted us from actually becoming free. So I believe it's a responsibility of a parent to guide their child in good, like honor the person as you would want to be honored yourself, do unto others as you will want that done unto you, you know, listen and acknowledge an individual when they speak. Don't, you know, ignore or be rude. You know, kind of take, be gentle, kind, those kind of ways, which are godly ways. And I think we need to just continue to instruct our children in that manner. But at the same time, you need to also instruct your children in how to feel so that they can begin to experience hearing God or hearing the direction that God has laid out for them. Because most of the time, the path of God and the way He's directing us comes through feelings. And when we can understand our feelings, we can also understand the path that God has laid out for us. Now, there are some who operate in the world. And when I say operate in the world, I say operating in our intellectual understanding or reason. And most of their feelings are affected by fear. And they're affected by the unknown, worry, and then it develops anxiety and creates pain. But when you know that God is for you and not against you, and you are walking with honesty and integrity in your heart, then that path is clearly heard, and you can hear what God is directing you and leading you and commanding you to live your life. And it's our job to connect with that path so that we can experience what I call salvation or freedom or even without sin. Most people can't comprehend what it is to be free because we are so bound by do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. For example, how many of us have to do something tomorrow? We have to do it. If they don't do it, there's a problem, right? But yet, at the same time, who told you that? What if God makes a way where you can't get it done? Let's say He stops you from doing what you're going to think you're going to do. Now, how upset are you going to be? You want to kick and scream. Well, that's normally what most people would want to do. But to know God and to understand the mysteries or the truth about God, you would look up into the heavens and say, not my will, but your will be done. Most of the time, when we can come to that place, God knows really what's best for us. We don't know what's best for us. And so when we can yield to His path, it might be in the beginning frightened, scary, uncertain. You can even be lost because the feelings have to be developed first. Not many people have feelings in order to find the path. They can be numb. When you don't know what your inner being is sensing, it's very hard to even know what the path of God is for your life. And most of the time, we kind of just not do anything. And we get complacent. And as we get older, it even gets more complacent, where we just sit there and wait. And I think I even said this before in one of our messages, where we just kind of twiddle our thumbs and just wait to die. But God has something for us, in store for us, in every aspect of our life. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, do we have a life? Do we have a life? And what consists in that life? Well, for one, most of us are looking for, I call it the three elements: love, peace, and joy. Most of us are looking and searching for those elements. And then there's another element that we really don't understand, which is, and that falls under peace, is without sin, or without guilt, or without shame. I know with my own life, I'm very conscious about putting any guilt or any shame in my life. That's the beginning of salvation, really, where you can be wiped clean from guilt and shame. You want to take that completely out of your life, as if you did something wrong. Our childhood, unfortunately, maybe where you were brought up might not be true to you, but I know most have been ruled with a strong fist. And when I said strict earlier, I got a lot of hands up in the air. And, you know, that makes it very, very difficult when you get into your next life. I call it your next life, meaning when you leave the home and you enter into your next life, where you have to take on responsibilities and, you know, have a family and share a life with someone else. If you were brought up in that strict environment, even though you don't want to be that way, subconsciously, you're that way. And you become very strict and adamant and stiff-necked. And it's your way or the highway. And there's a tremendous amount of arguments that proceed out of you. And it makes it very, very difficult for others around you to even live a life of without sin, condemnation or guilt or shame, because it fumigates the house or the home or the atmosphere, where it makes like a dark cloud, as if something was wrong. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Because most of the time, the person is feeling a little upset or annoyed. And because of the upsetness and annoyed, they're not free themselves. And it makes it very stiff, very stuffy, and hard to breathe when you're around those individuals. Has anyone ever experienced someone like that in their lives, where it just gets very uptight? Because, and I call these things generational curses. And that's why we need to break away from the traditions and the laws that we were so used to being upbrought, and we may not even agree with what was being brought. Like if we lived with a family that was very strict, we might have submitted to them, knowing that it was the right thing to do, and we knew that we had to honor our mother and father, and might have not even agreed with the strictness of the household. And then yet, on the other hand, could have been totally, you know, against the strictness and always, you know, fought their way of submitting under the house rules. But growing up, you took on that nature. You literally took on the nature that you didn't want or didn't like or didn't agree with. It's very ironic, isn't it? And we too become rigid, stiff-necked, difficult, yada, yada, yada. But if we can throw all that away and be, I want to say, like the wind. Don't get upset. Look at things. Be a little bit more calm. Throw the rules of right and wrong, good and bad, and let those that are around you begin to breathe. Has anyone ever been around someone who's controlling? You get a lot of nodding over here. You got any controlling issues over your way? A lot of them. How did it make you feel being around those individuals that were so controlling? You couldn't do anything right. That's number one, right? Couldn't do anything right in their eyes. You couldn't please them. No matter what you did, you couldn't please them. These individuals are operating under their own hurts, their own laws from the generation prior to that one. So their mothers and fathers or what have you were that way, maybe even worse. So salvation, I think God knew all the way back in time that there was going to be a problem in the sense of bringing up the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. So that when we did break away from that pattern and we started our own life to know God, we would ask Him and seek Him and begin to be put on that path so that we can experience freedom. Religion doesn't offer salvation. Religion is no different than being subject to patterns and traditions. That's why a lot of times I feel like I speak against religion, but yet our ministry looks at, we are religion. We are religion-based, whatever you might want to say. But we have a message, and it's a gospel message. And the gospel message is to bring us into a life. And that life leads us to an everlasting life. But part of that life is considered salvation. And if you asked religion, what is salvation, what kind of answers would you get? Can I get some answers from our audience? Okay, in Christianity, it would be as if you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as a personal. What would be the Judaism religion, the Judaism? Just repent. Just usually it's works.
Yes and no. You just ask God for forgiveness and
then you're saved.
You're forgiven.
But where is salvation?
I've never heard the word salvation in any of the studies.
Okay, so in Judaism, there is no salvation? Okay.
It's not referenced the same way as Christianity's salvation. Christianity says you go, you do your things, you get the Our Fathers and the whatevers, and you're forgiven. Judaism says you have an entire year, you screw up, once a year you repent all your sins, you're written in the book of
Okay, so that Judaism is giving you a yearly salvation. And as long as you're alive and you repent that year, and you're in salvation. And I'm sure that is like other traditions too. But then you have to ask yourself, do you feel any different? Yeah, exactly right. That's why you keep doing them over and over again. So the truth of the matter is, would you say religion or traditions have salvation all wrong? When you begin to understand true salvation, true salvation is free. Becoming free, breaking away from bondage that is holding you back. Maybe that, you know, I'm going to take an example here. I saw this analogy probably about 8 or 10 years ago. Let's say there has been a man or a woman who served a life sentence in prison, and they've been in prison now for maybe more than half their years, half their life. Probably maybe they're 50 and they've been in prison for 30 years or 35 years. I mean, they were only like 15 years old when they went to prison or what have you. And they have gotten so used to prison and so accustomed to prison, when they went to sit down to the board and they said, hey, you were reducing your sentence and you're free now. And they opened up the prison door and say, okay, go. They look outside the prison doors and are like scared, petrified. They don't know what to do. They can't imagine living outside of the prison walls. Well, this is how I see most people right now that are of age, maybe even in their 20s, 30s, maybe a 20-year-old want to experience salvation by breaking away from their home and living into the big world now. I'm going to go find freedom. I'm going to be free. I'm going to find salvation. In their minds, they're thinking it's salvation. When they reach a years of being in a pattern for 30 years, might be really difficult. 40 years gets really even more difficult. 50 years is even more difficult. And I think that's why salvation is hard to view, hard to see, because I feel that we're all like that man or woman who lived those prison sentences for so long, and when you finally open up the prison door is and say that you can, here it is, you can go ahead now and live your life free, they're like, because they're so afraid. They're afraid of change. They're afraid of, you know, breaking away from their comfort zone. They're afraid of actually following the path that God laid for them. So it's easier to make salvation to where you don't have to physically change. You can just confess or make a statement of that, and then believe that statement. And then everyone feels that they're saved now. But to really find salvation is a whole different ballgame. True salvation. Because it's a life-altering change. It's breaking away from patterns and traditions that you really don't want to do. That you really, in your heart, feel that you're, I want to say, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then you finally have the strength because it works like the opposite. You know, you would think when you're sick and tired, you're beaten down and you have no strength. But when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, for some reason, you are empowered by a new strength. And you're willing to now find this path, find and seek this salvation. You want it. You want it bad. This gospel is for those individuals. This gospel is for those that are sick and tired of being sick and tired so that they can want this true path. For those that aren't sick and tired of being sick and tired, this gospel, I would say, wouldn't be for them because this gospel's difficult. For an example, if you weren't sick and tired of being sick and tired, but you wanted to feel good, you wanted to feel as though that you're doing a change in your life by wanting to be a good person, and you're seeking God to be a good person, then the gospel message would be define salvation to repent or, you know, confess your sins or accept, you know, Jesus as your personal savior or whatever other traditional religions are out there. Not renounce your old life, die to the self, and let the spirit become born again. Now, we've heard in some charismatic movements and evangelical movements about being born again. But what happened? They've taken it right to repent or accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior or come to the altar and, you know, accept, you know, the prayer or whatever. And now you're born again. It went right back to the watered down, find a life and live that life. So it's almost like we're going to reduce your prison sentence and we're going to leave you in prison and we're going to still take care of it and there's going to be no change, but we will say you're free. Okay, we'll let you know, look, you're free, but at the same time, we want you to stay here. And what are you going to say? Okay. Hey, I'm free. I'm free now. And I get to stay here too. I'm free, but I get to stay here. I like this. I don't like that where it's like they opened up the prison door and they're saying, okay, now go, because I'm petrified. How many can see that vision, that scenario, that you know, where the prison sentence is now cut short and they've been in prison for many, many years and they're saying to the one who was in prison, you're free now. And they're standing at the door and they're petrified and they're afraid to even move out. Now, you might have the prisoner so sick and tired of the jail that he can't wait until his prison sentence is up. And he runs out of there super fast. And he's, woohoo! He's running down the street yelling and screaming and everything else. And he might get halfway down the street and say, woo, now what? Okay, I ran from that place and I'm out. Now what? And he's going to have to come to his, you know, senses to say, okay, now you got to start all over, or, you know, you got to start from the ground up, or, you know, you got to work this salvation out now. You have to work out your salvation. And this is one of the key points that I'm trying to bring across in this message is not only is there salvation and what salvation means, but then there's also a point of making that step to salvation and then working out that salvation. You know, it's not you're saved and then all of a sudden It's like, woohoo! And then you're just carefree. You still have to, you know, like, let's take that prisoner. He still has to eat, you know, so that means that he's still going to have to find a job or what have you. And he's, you know, so you worked in prison, you're going to work outside of prison kind of thing. But maybe I hope I'm making myself kind of clear about what salvation really means. But at the same time, it's that life and path that God has placed inside of our heart. And we have to learn how to find it. And the Bible talks about, you know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And that narrow road is that road that is thin, scary, hard, shallow in the sense of not being able to hear or see it. And wide is the road that leads to destruction is that easy path, and that's that path that you don't like change, and you get complacent, and you don't have no feelings in that path, and it just leads to destruction. And God's intentions is for all of us to find salvation and for all of us to be saved. And salvation and being saved is only one way. There's only one way. You can go to the altar and accept prayers or, you know, confession or Jesus' name or whatever it is, but you're not going to receive salvation. You're not going to be saved. You need to find that road of eternal life. You need to look within and be honest with ourselves and find out what it is that's going to maintain those ingredients, love, peace, joy, and I want to say without condemnation, without guilt, without shame. And I hope I was clear tonight about salvation. I hope I brought a point across for our listeners to start thinking about their own salvation and begin to understand that there's a path that needs to be taken in order to have salvation. And that path, God laid it on our hearts. And it's not my will, but your will be done. And we really need to lay our lives down and be able to pick our lives back up on that path and begin to live that path out and yield ourselves to the higher power to bring us to that path. And I want to close that tonight with that note. I hope we find salvation. I hope we find a life. I hope we become saved, and not by a tradition, not by a generational gospel, because it was so hard for people to really embrace what true salvation was. Everyone is that prisoner who is afraid to step out the doors, and they feel much better if you just tell that prisoner they don't have to walk the path. You can stay here. We'll just give you a certificate because you confessed, you're saved. And this is where this gospel's breaking that tradition right now. You're not saved. So those that are fooled, please don't be fooled. Seek salvation. Seek it with all your heart, soul, and mind so that you can see what being saved feels like. Love, peace, joy, and without condemnation. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. That's a